engaging sermons on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
A reading from the book of Job. Job spoke, saying, "Is not man's life on earth a drudgery? Are not his days those of hirelings? He is a slave who longs for the shade, a hireling who waits for his wages. So I have been assigned months of misery, and troubled nights have been allotted to me. If in bed I say, 'When shall I arise?' then the night drags on. I am filled with restlessness until the dawn. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. They come to an end without hope. Remember that my life is like the wind. I shall not see happiness again." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Praise the Lord who heals the brokenhearted. Praise the Lord who heals the brokenhearted. Praise the Lord, for he is good. Sing praise to our God, for he is gracious. It is fitting to praise him. The Lord rebuilds Jerusalem. The dispersed of Israel he gathers. Praise the Lord who heals the brokenhearted. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He tells the number of the stars. He calls each by name. Praise the Lord who heals the brokenhearted. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. To his wisdom there is no limit. The Lord sustains the lowly. The wicked he casts to the ground. Praise the Lord who heals the brokenhearted. A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, if I preach the gospel, this is no reason for me to boast, for an obligation has been imposed on me, and woe to me if I do not preach it. If I do so willingly, I have a recompense, but if unwillingly, then I have been entrusted with a stewardship. What then is my recompense? That when I preach, I offer the gospel free of charge, so as not to make full use of my right in the gospel. Although I am free in regard to all, I have made myself a slave to all, so as to win over as many as possible. To the weak I became weak, to win over the weak. I have become all things to all, to save at least some. All this I do for the sake of the gospel, so that I too may have a share in it. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Christ took away our infirmities and bore our diseases. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. On leaving the synagogue, Jesus entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Simon's mother-in-law lay sick with a fever. They immediately told him about her. He approached, grasped her hand, and helped her up. Then the fever left her, and she waited on them. When it was evening, after sunset, they brought to him all who were ill or possessed by demons. The whole town was gathered at the door. He cured many who were sick with various diseases, and he drove out many demons, not permitting them to speak, because they knew him. Rising very early, before dawn, he left and went off to a deserted place where he prayed. Simon and those who were with him pursued him, and on finding him said, "Everyone is looking for you." He told them, "Let us go on to the nearby villages, that I may preach there also. For this purpose have I come." So he went into their synagogues, preaching and driving out demons, throughout the whole of Galilee. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. The words God speaks to the world are, "I am with you." As I've often pointed out, the Gospels begin with, "He shall be called Emmanuel," a name which means God is with us. And then you go to the end of the Gospel, Matthew, for example, we see Jesus about to ascend to heaven, and he says, "Lo, I am with you always until the end of the world." God is not absent from his people. He is very present. And the reality of the incarnation, God becoming visible, the reality of God touching us in the ministry of Jesus, the reality of the sacraments, where he continues to be very present to us, not only in the action of the sacraments giving us God's grace, but in the abiding presence of Jesus himself in the Eucharist, in all the tabernacles throughout the world. This is a God who says, "I am with you." And our living a life of holiness, our living the Christian life, means we say the same to each other. "I am with you." And when we are with each other, we are a sign to each other of the presence of God, a sign intensified when we're treating each other with that loving service that Christ himself inspires, with that sensitivity to the needs of the other person, and with the ability, the eagerness to listen. As it's often been said, we have two ears and one mouth, suggesting that we should listen twice as much, at least twice as much, as we speak. There's wisdom there. You know, speaking to one another is not the same as communicating with one another. Communication happens only when the one who is giving a message gives it clearly enough for the one who is supposed to receive it to actually receive it and understand it properly. And then, of course, the best thing is, once you've received it and you've understood it properly, reflect back to the person who spoke it to you what your understanding is, and then they verify, okay, you got it. That's communication, where there's actually an understanding. It doesn't mean there'll be an agreement, but there's an understanding. I know what the other person said. And for the one who's listening, we can't jump ahead of time to a conclusion about what the other person is saying until we really let them say it and really listen, and not let preconceived notions in our mind jump in to either preempt, short circuit, or distort what the other person is saying to us, leaving some of it out, selective hearing, hearing that is filtered through our own prejudices. There's a lot just about the whole question of communication that we need to remind ourselves of frequently. I mention all this because the readings today really talk to us about God's presence, and I want to focus on that. We hear the theme very strongly here about the preaching of the gospel. You see Jesus driven to proclaim the gospel and going from town to town. He doesn't want to stay too long in one place, and because, you know, obviously the people are all at the door, but there's more of them to be cured. They want to listen to more of his words. You know, remember they wanted to come off and make him king when he multiplied the bread. Oh, feed us every day. You know, of course they would want Jesus to stay, but he's on a mission, going from town to town to town, preaching in their synagogues, curing diseases, expelling demons, setting us free from that ancient curse. Demons are real, brothers and sisters. And they're really after us. They're real spirits. And Jesus frees us from that. And so we see this passion for preaching the gospel. And we see that Paul had that in his heart too. "Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. I want to. I must." And Paul did it the same way as Jesus. Presence to the people. Notice, and I'm going to read a little bit from Acts chapter 15 and 20. But Jesus is in the synagogue. He doesn't just send a message to the synagogue. He's in the synagogue. And then he's in the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. And that's how he's able to learn about Simon's mother-in-law and to heal her. But notice, he doesn't heal her from afar. He is able to. And of course, we say that every day in the Mass with the centurion. Oh, Lord, just say the word and my servant will be healed. And that's what happened. But here, Jesus is told about Simon's mother-in-law. And it says he approached. Very important word in this passage. He approached, grasped her hand, and helped her up. I am with you. And then he balances all this activity, of course, with key times of solitude and private prayer. We've got to incorporate that. He goes away to a deserted place. He prays, but then he's ready again for action. And he says, let's go to the nearby villages. And he goes into their synagogues. Now, St. Paul, woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. Read the Acts of the Apostles. It's so just delightful and encouraging and inspiring and invigorating to read. And you realize this is the power of the Holy Spirit doing exactly what Jesus said would happen when before he ascended into heaven. He says, the Spirit will come to you. And then, you know, Mark's gospel says, for example, the Lord was working through them with the signs, the wonders, the message. It's the Lord at work. So Paul, we see in the Acts of the Apostles, just filled with this boundless energy, this passion to spread the gospel, he goes around in person to the churches. He has his companions. He has others that he's raising up to be overseers, the early bishops, Timothy, Titus. He's got other companions, Barnabas and so forth. And they go around and they meet with the people and they sit with the people and they listen and they speak. So Acts 15, after having established churches in many places, I love this verse from Acts 15. Paul and Barnabas, it says, remained in Antioch, teaching and proclaiming with many others the word of the Lord. And then listen to this. After some time, Paul said to Barnabas, come, let us make a return visit to see how the brothers are getting on in all the cities where we proclaimed the word of the Lord. And then they embarked on another set of missionary journeys. And Paul endured willingly all kinds of trials and tribulations and hardships in the journey. It was worth it. I am with you, says the Lord. I am with you, we say to each other. We want to bring the gospel. We want to go where the people are. In the I am privileged to know what this is like. Ever since I started full-time pro-life work in 1993 with Priests for Life, I've been put aside the pandemic, of course, which slowed everybody down and canceled so many events. But basically, since 1993, I've been going to like four states every week in these multiple travels. I know exactly the feeling here of let's go back and see how everyone is doing. We're doing it within the context of the pro-life movement. But coming in and speaking in the churches and praying in front of abortion facilities and talking at conferences and going to pro-life banquets and sitting with so many of you in your homes and in your pro-life offices and in your pregnancy centers. And let's go and encourage one another. So in Acts chapter 20, you see, again, this going all over the place. Paul traveled throughout the regions, provided many words of encouragement, arrived in Greece where he stayed 3 months. Then he set sail for Syria, and various people accompanied him who went on ahead and waited for us at Troas. We sailed from Philippi after the Feast of Unleavened Bread, rejoined them 5 days later in Troas, where we spent a week. On the first day of the week, Paul spoke to them because he was going to leave on the next day. Now listen to this. The preaching of the gospel, there's a lot to it. There's a big message. So it says, and this is a somewhat funny passage, Paul kept on speaking until midnight. There were many lamps in the upstairs room where we were gathered, and a young man named Eutychus, who was sitting on the windowsill, was sinking into a deep sleep as Paul talked on and on. Once overcome by sleep, he fell down from the third story, and when he was picked up, he was dead. Paul went down, threw himself upon him, and said as he embraced him, "Don't be alarmed, there is life in him." Then he returned upstairs, broke the bread, and ate. And after a long conversation that lasted until daybreak, he departed. And they took the boy away alive and were greatly comforted. So, you know, the preaching of the gospel, sometimes we're inclined to say, oh, well, you know, the fewer words, the better. No, that's not necessarily true. There's a lot to be conveyed in the gospel, and we've got to convey it all. You have a right to the full message. Makes me uncomfortable, frankly, when people keep saying, oh, well, you know, you got to preach a very short time, a very short time. Wait a minute, we have a lot to say. The Lord has done a lot. There's a lot to learn, there's a lot we want to learn, and there's a lot to tell. That's why the Bible is a book this thick. So they go on, and Paul, you know, eventually he's making his way to Rome to appeal the mistreatment that he has been given. And it's a very moving scene here in Miletus where he knows it's going to be his last visit to them. And he says to them, in every way I have shown you that we must help the weak. Lord Jesus said it is more blessed to give than to receive. He says to them, I solemnly declare to you, I am not responsible for the blood of any of you, for I did not shrink from proclaiming to you the entire plan of God. Listen, if a preacher is not giving you the hard sayings as well as the easy ones, the challenging pieces of the Bible, and not just the comforting ones, he's not doing his job. Paul says, I did not shrink from preaching to you the entire plan of God, because you, friends, have a right to it. A right. But then Paul says, look, and this is where I want to focus on this being with the people. When he had finished speaking, he knelt down and prayed with them all. Again, this is still Acts chapter 20. They were all weeping loudly as they threw their arms around Paul and kissed him, for they were deeply distressed that he had said they would never see his face again. Then they escorted him to the ship. I want you to see something there. Paul had preached to them the entire plan of God. So they might say, okay, you've established the church here, and we know the message, and we will joyfully live it, and we know that Jesus is with us. But no, it didn't stop there. They threw their arms around him and were weeping that they would never see his face again. Obviously, they had seen his face enough to bond with him in a healthy way, in a spiritual and holy way. That's what's supposed to happen. We're supposed to be present to one another. Paul never got tired of traveling around. And Pope Francis issued just the other day a message for this year's World Day of Communications. And he talked about this very same topic. And he said, you know, we have in the Gospels the invitation of Jesus to come and see. When the disciples asked him, where are you staying? Come and see. Be with me so that you can learn from me. And listen to what the Holy Father says. It is necessary to move beyond the complacent attitude that we already know certain things. Instead, we need to go and see them for ourselves, to spend time with people, to listen to their stories, and to confront reality, which always in some way surprises us. That is beautiful, and that corresponds so well to today's readings and to the message I'm giving to you. This is what the Pope also means by the shepherds, the bishop in a diocese, the priests, the pastors, all those who minister the gospel, ought to have the scent of the sheep on their clothing. In other words, rubbing shoulders so much with the people. That's how we serve. We first listen and watch. Two ears, two eyes, only one mouth. You know, all of us in public life have enemies, and our ministry here at Priests for Life, I can tell you one of the clear differences between those who support us and those who despise and oppose us. The ones who support us have been here or know enough about us, take the time and the trouble to learn and listen, to know that they support us. I'll tell you, without exception, the ones who oppose us They've never set foot here. They've never opened their eyes long enough or opened their ears long enough to get beyond those preconceived notions, those prejudices, or those thoughts and ideas that somebody else has told them, or what I often describe as snapshot thinking. They heard one story about me or about us, or they saw one headline, and then they lock you in a box. And like the Pope said here, oh, we just presume we already know certain things. Instead, we need to go and see for ourselves, spend time with people, listen to their stories, and confront reality, which often surprises us. So we've got people that they don't like what we do. They don't even know what we do. And I always say to them, in fact, I put it every day. You know, if you watch me every day on the Mass, we put our phone number there. Well, they call us. We're an open book. Call us. 321-500-1000. We purposely made the number very, very easy for people to remember. 321-500-1000. You got a question? Ask us. It's amazing how, and the Pope is writing this message for World Communications Day. He's talking especially into the world of journalists and media. He says, don't just report stories about people. Find out the truth. Contact them. It's amazing how many people write things about people. I've done it about me. You write things and you criticize people without reaching out to them for some clarification or comment. Jesus went into the house. Paul went into the houses, into the church. He stayed all night that night when the child fell out the window, fell asleep. He stayed all night until the break of dawn. This is how the gospel progresses. This is how the kingdom is built. We don't judge people from afar. We spend time face to face so that, and here's what we have the willingness to happen, so that our assumptions about those people can be challenged and changed. I have had such a joy, and right now I'm involved in taping a documentary about a friend of mine, and he's a very unlikely friend. You, many of you have heard, if you follow my work, Bill Baird, father of the pro-choice movement. He and I have become friends over the years, adamantly opposed on issues relating to abortion and birth control and so forth. But my goodness, we've spent a lot of time face to face. We've shared a lot of meals. We've listened to each other. Similarly, Ron Fitzsimmons, who formerly was the director of the National Coalition of Abortion Providers, NCAP. Look him up, Ron Fitzsimmons. We too have developed a friendship over the years. I have been willing to spend time with these people, with practicing abortionists as well. Doesn't mean compromising, not one little bit. Doesn't mean compromising at all. I've been very critical and will continue to be critical about the platform and policies of the Democrat Party. But one of my good friends, one of my best friends and colleagues within the pro-life movement is a young woman who is an atheist, a liberal, a feminist, and the head of Democrats for Life. And we were just together. You might have seen the video we made just the other day when we were together at the March for Life. So, you know, encounter with the person is so important, so necessary, and so much a part of proclaiming the gospel. Jesus, thank you for being with us. Thank you for entering the homes of those that you preached to and cured. Thank you for entering our homes and our hearts today. May we encounter each other face to face. May we truly listen so that our prejudices may be challenged, so that our ignorance may be filled instead with understanding, and so that by our presence to one another, Lord Jesus, we may allow you to have a deeper presence to us. And so that we may enjoy now and forever the eternal life that you bring us. Amen.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.